And time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show with the regular cast of characters. Moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by The Chronicle's Leah Garchik and author Jerry Nachman. Your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely holiday season and can join us over the course of the next hour for our show, which, after all, is nothing without you because we are an audience participation quiz program. So naturally, we're encouraging your participation. That's very, very important. Our lines are actually open right now. No calls at all, so please fill those up as soon as you can. Let me give you the numbers. That is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. And we also have a toll-free number. Yes, we actually do. And that is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So again, feel free to give us a call as soon as you can, 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. I just want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER, all strung together in one word, and that is at yahoo.com. I don't know if we've been hacked or not, but we probably have. That's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. And if you'd like to hear our show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org and iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. So, all that being said, our original group is here tonight, I'm happy to say, and this is our last show before Christmas. I would like to tell you that I pre-taped a Christmas music show, thanks to Kevin Vance, came in a couple of days ago and did that. That will be playing next Sunday at 7 o'clock. I hope you will enjoy it, and if you do enjoy it, please let me know. Just go to mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. It's music from 20s, 30s, 40s, or early 50s, some big band and singers and, you know, Rodgers and Hart and Irving Berlin and things that I enjoy, and I hope you will too. So again, that will be next Sunday. I will be hosting that at 7 p.m., and that's pre-taped, so don't call in. But let me know what you think. Okay, all that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions, and here's the first. Jerry Nachman expects to start his Christmas shopping sometime this week.
That's right. Leah Garchik has visions of latkes dancing in her head.
Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, hasn't felt this cold since that last elevator ride with his sister-in-law.
All right. So, anyway.
You want to explain that?
Oh, it's my sister-in-law. Okay. No, it's too obvious to explain. Okay. So we'll begin with Jerry Nachman.
In 1903, the Pope banned what instrument from a sacred music concert?
A sacred music concert? Is there a reason for this? I mean, is there a reason that you have in the
I don't have a reason, but you can kind of guess. It may be totally wrong, but
the accordion.
I was thinking that, too.
Why that?
That he thought it was too
tool of the devil.
Yeah.
Maybe you heard Lady of Spain too many times. Really? There's a logical reason for it, you would think.
Well, and I didn't say logical. I think I'm guessing. I have a guess.
Because logic and religion don't always go together intimately.
I have a guess, and I don't know if it makes sense or not, but.
Huh.
Okay, you know.
The cello.
The cello?
Because it looks like.
Yeah, because ladies have to open their legs.
I never thought of it quite like that, but I guess you're right.
Well, you're kind of in the ballpark.
A violin.
Why violin? No.
Oh, then a harp.
No, that's enough. No harp.
No harp. No Okay. Is it something that you have to put your leg, like Leah said, is it something you have to put your legs around?
It's not a physical thing like that.
Not a physical thing. Okay. All right. Leave it out. If you were to repeat that, please.
In 1903, the Pope banned what instrument from a sacred music concert?
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Scare from Hayward.
Hi.
Was that instrument a viola?
No.
I got a couple questions.
All right.
The first relates, of course, you heard that Josh Hagaborg died earlier today.
Mm-hmm. I heard.
Can you name Josh Hagaborg died earlier today. Can you name the two connections she had with Batman?
The two connections she had with Batman. She was married to... Wasn't she married to George Sanders?
Yes.
The other character.
Who played Mr. Freeze. Okay, that's one.
Mr. Freeze, out of Preminger.
I'm sorry, what?
It was directed by the second Mr. Freeze, Otto Preminger, Forever Amber. What was the other connections she had?
With Batman.
Is this a TV show?
Yeah, Batman the TV show. No, no, no. Give me a hint on that.
Well, it has something to do with the show's final season.
Did she play a villain?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. I don't know which villain that would be. That you have to tell me.
You want to give it to him?
Yeah.
She was Minerva in the very last episode of the series.
Oh, okay.
My second connection. Which actor was nominated for playing the same role in different films released during the same decade? I'll give you a clue. One of them has something to do with Christmas.
Which actor was nominated for playing the same role in different films in the same decade?
Same decade, yeah.
Well, is it Bing Crosby for Going My Way and The Bells of St. Mary's?
No.
Because he was nominated.
That's correct.
That's the same role and in the same decade and... Yeah. Nominated for.
Well, I got another one. I'll change it a little bit. It was during the 60s.
During the 60s?
The Silver American actor.
American actor in the 1960s?
No, that was an American.
Oh, he's not an American. Okay. Peter O'Toole.
I'll give you a clue. The role he played was from a stage play.
Peter O'Toole played Henry the Second? In Beckett and Lion and Winter.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gareth.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too. And Leah, it's your turn.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I have kind of dark questions. In San Francisco in 1872, what was the term for homeless people?
Well, not something simple like beggars.
No.
Does it make sense when you hear
yes.
it?
Yes.
Is it an antiquated term?
No.
Is it something you would hear today? I mean,
it's not what we call them, but if you heard it, you would know what it meant.
Is it a one word answer?
No, two.
Okay. Huh. Box dwellers?
No.
Gosh, I don't know. Okay. Ask that once more, if you would.
In San Francisco in 1872, what term was used to describe homeless people?
All right. And we have some lines open now. If you'd like to give us a call, that's area code 415-841-4134. Again, with a question or answer, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Okay. Let me give you a couple questions here. I was reading some of the history of signs and advertising today, and I came across a couple of things here. The first illuminated sign in history was illuminated by gas, and it was in 1840 in New York City. What was it illuminating? What was it advertising? The first illuminated advertising sign in history was in 1840 in New York City.
Like in Times Square?
Well, it was
like those kind of lights.
Longacre Square then, I think. Yeah. It was in 1840 in New York City, and it was advertising what? It's a well-known business. It was a well-known business. Still a well-known business. Well, it's the well-known business at the time.
The power company.
No?
Conrad, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting question. Yeah. No, but not that.
Excuse me. Let's see.
So the first gas-powered illuminated sign in the world was in 1840 in New York City, and it was advertising what famous business?
Macy's?
No, I don't know if Macy's was around then. Maybe it was. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
Okay. Second question. What is the largest company in the world that has the Golden Gate Bridge on their logo? What is the largest company in the world that has the Golden Gate Bridge on their logo? All right. You want to guess, Leah?
I can't think of anything that has the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, yeah. So once more, what is the largest company in the world that has the Golden Gate Bridge on their logo?
It's local.
What's that?
Is it local, she said.
Is it? Yes, it is. Yes, it is local. It's local in terms of the greater Bay Area. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not what I said, but that's a good question.
Oh, okay. All right. And all right. Once more, the numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. It's Ed Rosemarick out in Massachusetts.
Hi, Ed.
How are you tonight?
Good, thank you.
I think I play the Pope's band instrument, so I think I know what it is. It's a saxophone.
It is a saxophone, which has a kind of a sexy, naughty sound, I think.
Good job.
He didn't think it was classical enough.
Yeah, right.
Something like that.
Very good.
And I've got a question for you. Last week I gave you a little quiz on movies' second to last line.
Uh-huh.
Tonight I've got for you the second lines of some famous novels. First lines I think are pretty easy, but this is I'm giving you second lines of some novels and see what you can get.
Are these classic novels or
they're all classic novels that you should maybe one is a little less. And one of them is calling it a novel is a trick question, but I think you can get it anyway.
Okay.
All right. Some years ago, never mind how long, having little or no money in my purse and nothing particular to interest me on shore, I thought I would sail about a little and see the watery part of the world.
Moby Dick.
Opening line?
Call me Ishmael.
Very good. Number two. In the first place, that stuff bores me, and in the second place, my parents would have about two hemorrhages apiece if I told anything pretty personal about them.
Catcher in the Rye.
Very good. The opening line is kind of long. I won't, if you really want to hear it, the first thing you know is about where I was born
and blah, blah, blah.
David Copperfield kind of crap. Number three. There were a king with a large jaw and a queen with a plain face on the throne of England. There were a king with a large jaw and a queen with a fair face on the throne of France.
The Tale of Two Cities.
Very good. And the opening line?
It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And it goes on from there.
And it goes on. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Right. Let me see. I'm going to skip one. Here we go. No, I am not a spook like those who haunted Edgar Allan Poe, nor am I one of your Hollywood movie ectoplasms.
Oh. The Invisible Man.
Very good.
God,
and the opening line?
Ooh, gosh. That I don't know.
It's almost too obvious. I am an invisible man.
All right.
And then he goes on. This one's probably a giveaway. This book was made by Mr. Mark Twain, and he told the truth, mainly.
Huck Finn,
yep. Yeah. What was the opening?
I thought that was the opening. No.
That's the second line.
Yeah, okay.
You don't know about me without you've read a book.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay. Good.
Good work.
Yeah, very good.
I've got one last one here.
All right.
The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep.
The Bible.
The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
The Bible.
That's the Bible. Okay. All right. You got them all.
All right. Thanks a lot. Good question, Ed.
Thanks a lot. Good night.
Good night.
Some of these callers do more work than I do.
I know. And next,
I don't want to let that out of the bag.
Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
So, I have a couple of guesses. Mm-hmm. For Leah's question about the homeless, mm-hmm. Is that Blanket Men?
Yes.
Oh.
I learned that from an article
yes.
in the New
yes.
York Times this morning.
Okay, so I have a few questions based on that. So, let's make a gentleman and gentlewoman's agreement. That's your answer, Robert.
So I won't guess it anymore from that.
Thank you. Right. It was a really interesting story, wasn't it?
It was. And the author happens to be a neighbor here in Bernal Heights.
Oh, well, tell him that we were rooting for him in the Haight-Ashbury.
Okay, well, I don't know him, but if I ever meet him, I will tell him that you're a fan. So the company with the Golden Gate Bridge as its logo?
Yes.
Is that Cisco?
It is Cisco Systems, yes.
Comes from San Francisco?
Oh, yeah, very good.
So I have some a list of questions for you all. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of news about South Korea and the fact that the president lives in what's called the Blue House.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I'm going to give you official residences from other countries and see if you know where these are.
Mm.
So which president lives in the White Palace?
Well, I know that wasn't the president of the Russian Federation in the White...
Well, so that was my next question, which is the White House.
That's the White House, too.
That's the prime minister's residence.
Okay. But that's not the one you were looking for
first.
No,
that's not the White Palace.
The White Palace.
There is another White House as well.
What part of the world is the White Palace in?
The White Palace is in Europe.
Is it Romania?
No, but you're reasonably close.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's in Eastern.
Is it Serbia?
No, but you're still pretty close. You're very close.
Oh, how about Turkey then?
Turkey then.
Is that new one? The
I don't know.
Because he just moved into a new presidential palace.
So there's another White House, and this is in a country that I don't think we Americans tend to know very much about.
What part of the world?
Way northern Europe.
Oh.
Eurasia.
Mongolia?
I'll give it to you. Kyrgyzstan.
Oh, all right.
How about the White Castle, which is in our hemisphere?
I like the burgers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the White Castle is in our hemisphere. Oh, there's one in. Is that in Mexico City by any chance?
No, keep going south.
How much for is Central America or South America?
This is where Karen should be standing next to me. I think this is South America.
Oh, you're not sure then. So how about Panama?
No.
And
I'll tell you that this country also, so the White House is the winter residence of the president. They also have the greenhouse, which is the residence of the prime minister.
Oh. Gosh, I'd just be guessing. So, yeah.
So, Bolivia.
Bolivia, okay.
And then how about the Blue Palace back to Europe?
What part of Europe?
Oh, I couldn't possibly tell you.
The Blue Palace. Blue Palace. Let me think.
It's Montenegro.
Oh, no. Wouldn't have gotten that.
How about the Pink House back to our hemisphere? It's also known as Casa Rosada.
Oh, that's... is that Buenos Aires? Argentina?
Argentina.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, all.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
Night. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, what movie actor and director holds a hereditary British peerage?
Oh, Christopher Guest.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
That was quick. Didn't even finish the question. A little like Jews who go out on Christmas for Chinese. The citizens of what country celebrate Christmas traditionally by buying a bucket of Colonel Sanders fried chicken?
It's
KFC is so popular there that some outlets take reservations and offer table service.
Is that by any chance? It's an Asian country, isn't it?
I can't tell you.
Is it Korea? South Korea?
No.
I think it's an Asian country. Huh. But they observe Christmas, but they just do that. Am I incorrect in that?
No, I don't think they do observe Christmas.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Yeah. All right. Read that once more, if you would.
The citizens of what country celebrate Christmas by buying a bucket full of Colonel Sanders fried chicken?
But they are observing Christmas.
By buying.
Well, observing it in their way, yeah. That's true.
China.
Hmm.
Okay.
Leah said China.
No.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah, this is Dan Nerfman.
Hi.
Hi, yeah. I think it's going to be brave.
We're not hearing you too well. Can you?
Can you hear me now?
A little better. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. I am sweetened the punch on the first question about Cisco Systems. And the Golden Gate Bridge. But, Dan, could you repeat your first question?
Sure. What was the first illuminated, the gas illuminated sign? It was in 1840 in New York City. It was advertising what business?
Was it Tiffany?
Was not Tiffany. Good guess.
It was not Tiffany. Okay, because that was about the time of their founding. Okay, well, so I don't have any answers for you, but I do have a question.
All right.
So there are five songwriters that have won the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Five songwriters, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. Did you say Congressional Medal of Honor or Congressional Gold Medal?
Congressional Medal of Honor.
Congressional
Medal. Oh, I'm sorry, my apologies. Congressional Gold Medal.
Okay,
my apologies.
There you go.
Yes.
Well, Irving Berlin, of course.
Right, right.
Irving Berlin.
That was what...
I'll give you a way of putting them one together.
Stephen Foster?
No.
Were any of these medals awarded posthumously?
One of them was awarded posthumously. That was the part of the two awarded together.
Oh. So it was like a songwriting team or something.
Correct.
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No.
But it was a team, a songwriting team.
There were five in all, huh?
Yeah, five.
Yeah, one of them is kind of surprising because he's relatively contemporary, but it was first work on Ending Hunger.
Oh, Bob Geldof? No.
No.
Did Stephen Sondheim ever win?
No.
These
are all along like Irving Berlin. I would say three of the others are like sort of among the American sort of pantheon of songwriters.
Jerome Kern?
No.
George Gershwin?
Oh, yeah.
George Gershwin, and he's part of the duo.
Oh, so Ira and Ira, right.
Yeah,
okay.
George and Ira, right.
Okay.
He was a posthumous.
Yeah, Gershwin, of course.
Who else? Who are we missing?
Leonard Bernstein?
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
No, that's a good guess. No, but no. If you remember, one of them had a movie based on his life, and actually, more or less in the movie, he's actually awarded.
George Cohan.
Exactly.
George M. Cohan. Yeah.
And the last one's by far the toughest. It's a contemporary, and that there's really no reason you'd know this.
Burt Bacharach.
Harry Chapin.
Oh.
Harry who?
Harry Chapin.
Harry Chapin.
Oh, really?
Right. Okay.
Okay, I have one more question if you have the time.
All right, go ahead.
Who is the oldest living person who won an Oscar for a biographical picture?
Who did what? I missed that.
Who is the oldest living person who won an Oscar for a biographical picture?
No. Who is the oldest living person whose portrayal of the someone won an Oscar?
Oh, so someone won an Oscar for portraying this person in a motion picture.
Still alive.
And this person is still alive.
Correct.
The actor or the person who's
the human being, the person. For example, if George Patton were still alive.
Right. Okay. So an actor won an Oscar for portraying this person who is still alive, and this is the oldest. Yes. Okay. Let's see.
Yeah.
How long ago was the movie?
The movie was 36 years ago, I believe.
36 years ago, this person...
I was flabbergasted to learn this person was still alive. But.
And they won an Oscar. Was it a man or a woman that won the Oscar?
It was a man.
Huh. What would this be? I'd like to figure it out, but it would probably take too long, so I guess you better tell us.
Okay, Jake LaMotta is still alive, believe it or not.
Oh. He is still alive, huh?
Oh.
Yeah, he's like 96.
Right.
Yeah. So, for Raging Bull.
All right. Thank you very much.
Not at all. Have a good night.
Good night. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman. His new book, Showstoppers, is out in all your better and lesser bookstores right now, available in paperback, and it's very good. And, of course, Leah Garchik writes her column for the San Francisco Chronicle. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Our numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Please give us a call, and we'll put you on the air as soon as we can if you have a question or answer. And Leah, I believe it's your turn.
Okay. Who said advertising is based on one thing, happiness?
Is this an advertising person?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Well-known one.
David Ogilvy.
No.
What was that fellow's name? Edward Bernays or Bernays?
Bernays.
Bernays?
No.
Edward Bernays.
The father of modern advertising.
Mm-hmm. PR.
Right. And this is a famous person, Leah, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Huh. Give us it once more, if you would.
Who said advertising is based on one thing, happiness?
All right. And give us a call, 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. All right. I'm going to give you six musicians. I'm going to give you two questions here. These are Christmas music related questions. First one is, besides Bing Crosby, who was the only person to have the best selling Christmas album 4 years in a row? And it's, I'll give you the years, 58, 59, 60, and 61. Besides Bing Crosby, who is the only person to have the best selling Christmas album 4 years in a row?
Nat King Cole.
That's good. He had the best-selling Christmas album in a year or two, but not him.
Johnny Mathis.
Not Johnny Mathis. So once more, besides Bing Crosby, who is the only person to have the best-selling Christmas album 4 years in a row? 58, 59, 60, and 61. All right. Now, the other question here I'm going to give you is I'm going to give...
Liberace.
No, not Liberace. That's interesting. I'm going to give you six artists, musical artists, and I want you to tell me the best-selling Christmas single that they were responsible for, okay? So again, these are six different musical artists. I want you to tell me the best-selling single, a Christmas single that they were responsible for, okay? Number one, Brenda Lee. Number two, Jimmy Boyd. Number three, Bobby Helms. Number four, Barry Gordon, and that's Barry Gordon, the actor. You know Barry Gordon, the actor?
I do him.
Yeah.
1,000 Clowns.
Yeah. Number five, Jorgi Jorgensen. And number six, Spike Jones. So again, these are, I want you to tell me the best-selling Christmas single that is tied up with these different people. six different ones, obviously. Number one, Brenda Lee. Number two, Jimmy Boyd. Number three, Bobby Helms. Number four, Barry Gordon. Number five, Jorgi Jorgensen, and number six, Spike Jones. And if you know them all, just you're feel free to call in, but give me one answer when you call.
Jimmy Boyd is All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth.
No.
Oh, I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
That is correct. That is correct. Very good. Leah?
No, don't know any.
Okay.
Who did sing the Front Teeth Carol?
Well, I'm not going to answer you because that could be part of the question. Anyway, yes, Jimmy Boyd is I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Oh, that's one of the... That's one of them.
Yeah. Okay. That was Jimmy. Yeah, that was Jimmy.
Yogi Jorgensen. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And again, the other question was, besides Bing Crosby, who is the only person to have the best-selling Christmas album 4 years in a row, 58, 59, 60, and 61? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good.
So I want you to name the longest and the most, the oldest road in the world. So the oldest and the longest, it fits that road.
So those are two different questions.
Yeah, pretty much. No, it's the same question, actually.
Oh, so it's the same road? The same oldest road. And the longest?
The longest.
Is it a road or a highway?
It's a road. I'll give you some of the figures. It is 4,350 miles across.
Is this the Silk Road?
Yes.
Oh.
Very good.
All right.
Very good. All right, how old is it?
Oh, God. I don't know. Thousands of years. Many thousands of years.
Well, I'll give you another hint. It connected two major countries.
Well, China.
At that time. China is one. What is the other one?
And, well, I don't know. I guess, did it go? I don't know if it went all the way to Europe or
well,
not.
Well, 4,000 years ago, you only had really one country.
The Roman Empire.
No, the Roman Empire was only 2,000 years old.
All right.
What is the
Greek Empire?
No, Greece was about 2,400
years
old.
Egypt.
Of course, you guys, of course. All right. Of course. Yeah, but the amazing thing is the Egyptians, through their tombs and all of their mural, had silk, but they never had the silkworm. Yeah. So they strictly import silk from China, which is really unbelievable. And this is the same road that Marco Polo took across, and he became a hero. One very, very, very quick question. In our solar system, there is one planet, the sunrise on the west, opposite of Earth, and the sunrise on the east. The sunrise on the west and the sunset on the east. Which planet is it? So it's the opposite. So it's backward.
Yes.
That's a good question, but I have no idea.
You know, it'll be fun to leave it to the audience. Really, to
all you. Right. We'll leave it out to the audience.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, audience, do your thing.
All right. next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
Was Judy Garland up there with Bing Crosby for Wishing You a Merry Little Christmas?
No. Remember, it was an album, not a single. So it was the best-selling Christmas album 4 years in a row. But not that.
All right. And I have a question.
Yes.
I have seven names. Tell me what is being named. First one is Lud, L-U-D. Then New. Then Cripple. Then Moore, M-O-O-R. Then Bishops, two S's. Alders and Ald, A-L-D.
Alders?
What is being made, did you say?
What
named. What are these the names of?
Oh, Cripple.
So this is all the same product or thing?
All the same thing, yeah.
Could you go over the list once more?
Lud, mm-hmm. New, Cripple, Moore, Bishops, Alders, Ald.
Are they not?
No.
Is it a living thing?
It's a geographical question.
Oh. Oh. Bishops, Alders, Moore. So could they be like...
If you put the same word after all of them, it will all make sense.
Creek?
Yeah, I was thinking because of Cripple Creek, right? You thinking
no.
that? It's a geographical thing. Alders, bridge, crossing.
Close.
Close with bridge or crossing. Ford. No, Ford Fork.
Mountain.
Gosh, I don't know. Just be guessing.
Gate.
Gate. Bishop's. Oh, Bishop's Gate. Oh, okay. Yeah, Bishop's Gate. Yeah, Alder's Gate. Are these all famous gates?
Sort of, yes.
Okay. Newgate. Oh, Newgate, like a Newgate prison.
Exactly.
Oh, Ludgate. Yes, okay. All right, all right. Cripplegate. Cripplegate, I don't know. Bishop's Gate, I've heard of. Alder's Gate, don't know. Moorgate. Okay. Huh, all right.
They're all neighborhoods in London that were named after the original gates and the Roman wall.
That's a good question.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Has there ever been a gate?
Maybe. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. Let's see. I had a good one. What cartoon animal is the symbol of the alt-right movement?
Oh, it's Pepe the Frog.
Yes. How did you know that? Why did they choose that?
Is that anti-French or something? The alt-right movement
Of
it. They just adopted it.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you the exact reason. But it's Pepe the Frog.
Okay, let's see. I don't know if I asked this. Melania Trump will be the second First Lady to have been born outside the U.S. Who was the first?
First, I think, was Louisa Adams, John Quincy Adams' wife.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to get you one more here.
All right.
Who was the first Asian American man to win an Olympic gold medal?
Now, I read that guy's obituary, though I couldn't tell you I can't remember his name now, but it was a very inspiring story.
He died recently, about
a week ago. It was in the New York Times.
When did he win the medal?
He won a couple medals in diving. He was very compact. I think I showed a picture. I mean, he was like 5 feet tall.
He was 96.
And
the right guy, but I want the name.
But I can't remember his name. But yeah, he won two gold medals in diving in the Olympics.
Okay.
At least two gold medals. It was very interesting. It was an interesting story. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Okay, Leah, I have a guess on the question you asked about advertising is based on one thing, happiness.
Yeah.
And my guess is a fictional character.
Yeah.
Okay, it's Don Draper on.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Great.
I can see John Hamm right saying that line. Boy, that's a heck of a line.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. It's Brian from San Francisco.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. I want to guess two of the singles, Christmas singles.
Yes.
Brenda Lee, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
That's correct.
And I'm not sure on this one, but Bobby Helms, did he sing Jingle Bell Rock?
He did. Very good.
Oh,
who?
Great.
Jingle Bell Rock.
Who sang it?
Bobby Helms.
That's all I've got.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Yes, Brenda Lee was Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. They play ad nauseum. And Bobby Helms, Jingle Bell Rock. So, and Leah, I believe it's your turn.
Okay, so that question about Don Draper was from David Thompson's book, Television. And here's another. David Brinkley said, the next 4 years will be filled with pretty words and pretty music and a lot of goddamn nonsense. When did he say that?
1960?
Yeah, I was Mm-mm. thinking that too.
Mm-mm.
No, really? Okay.
Well, he was always pretty cynical, but could apply any time.
Was he talking about an incoming president? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, pretty words, pretty music, and a lot of goddamn nonsense. Let's see.
Well, he died about 15 years ago.
Yeah, so it's... Who would this be? How about Bill Clinton?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What's the salary within 10%, obviously, of the CEO of Walmart?
It's like $10 billion or something.
No, it's not quite that much.
It's in the billions, though, I think.
No, I don't think it's quite. No. So this is the base salary. This is your basic salary. Okay. Not the bonuses or anything like that.
$70 million.
No.
No. They get a lot of winning bonuses, but the base salary, I'll say... $9.5 million.
No.
Right. Oh, that's way low, I think.
Well, I don't know, for just a base salary.
Walmart, though? God, come on.
Yeah, but, okay. Yeah, would you ask the question once more, please?
Yeah, what's the salary of the CEO of Walmart?
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, it's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
All right, how about the base salary for the president of Walmart? How about $1?
No.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah, and the rest in bonuses. Danny, your question. Jorgi Jorgensen, I think he did a version of Jingle Bells.
Yes.
Or I Yust Go Crazy for Christmas.
I Yust Go Nuts for Christmas.
Yust Go Nuts, yes.
Yust.
And the best-selling Christmas album?
4 years in a row.
The Chipmunks.
No.
Not the Chipmunks.
Not the Chipmunks.
Very good, yeah.
That is a good guess, though. Yes, but not the Chipmunks.
Yeah, that or whoever put out the little drummer boy.
No, not that.
Okay. Okay, well, about an hour ago, we were surfing through the TV channels and came across what seemed to be the pilot episode of To Tell the Truth. But it was under a different name. What was the title of the show and who hosted it?
You mean the original To Tell the Truth back in the 50s?
The original To Tell the Truth.
It was not Bill Collier?
Bud Collier.
Not Bill Collier.
Bud Collier, I'm
sorry.
Collier.
Or no.
Not Bud Collier.
To tell the...
It was not Bud Collier.
Not Bud Collier.
Bill Collin.
Yeah, he did everything, didn't he?
Yeah.
Is it a name we would recognize easily?
Oh, definitely.
Is it somebody like Mike Wallace?
Yeah, it was Mike Wallace.
All right, because I know he did a bunch of that stuff.
Right. The format was kind of different and also brought in the... audience to kind of vote too.
Yeah.
But what was the title of the show? Because it wasn't called To Tell the Truth.
No idea.
I don't know. No.
Nope.
Leah?
No. Sorry.
It was called Nothing But the Truth.
Oh.
No.
Not bad.
No.
And that's it. We're done.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's a better title in a way.
Yeah, I kind of like that. And we have a couple of lines open right now. If you'd like to give us a call, that number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. I'm sorry, I think we neglected to read any questions that haven't been answered yet. So, Jerry, what do you have?
Oh, dear. Let's see. The citizens of what country celebrate Christmas by buying a bucket full of Colonel Sanders' fried chicken, and who was the first Asian-American man to win an Olympic gold medal, and that's all.
Okay. Leah?
What's the salary of the CEO of Walmart, annual salary?
Is that it for you? Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else? Okay. Mm-hmm. The first gas-illuminated sign in history was in 1840 in New York City, and it was advertising what famous business? So what is that? And besides Bing Crosby, who is the only person to have the best-selling Christmas album 4 years in a row? And those 4 years are 58, 59, 60, and 61. It's a name that's very recognizable today. And I gave you some, the ones we have left on this list. These are best-selling Christmas singles, and I gave you the performers, and I want you to tell me what the single was. So the only ones we have left are Barry Gordon, the actor, Jerry knows who he is, and Spike Jones. What are the two singles, the Christmas singles that they, best-selling Christmas singles they had? Right. Okay, is it your turn? No, you just did a question. Okay, that's right. All right, what was the best-selling song that George Gershwin ever had?
Funny.
Right.
First one.
Yeah, okay. And The first electric sign, I asked a question about the first gas-powered sign. The first electric sign was erected in London in 1881 of incandescent bulbs. It was the first electric sign. And it said one word. What was it? The first electric sign was erected in London in 1881. And it was obviously done, made of incandescent bulbs, and it said one word, and it had nothing to do with England. So the fact that it was in London is beside the point. So what one word did
peace?
The sign say? No, not peace. Leah?
Coal?
No. Mm-mm. So what was the one word that the first electric sign ever erected? What did it say in 1881? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Terry in San Francisco.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I wonder if that 4 years in a row Christmas album person might have been Elvis.
It is not Elvis. I think he was number one for 1 or 2 years, but not for 4 in a row.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks.
Sure. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Janos.
Hi, Janos.
The electric sign, I think it said Edison?
Yes, it said Edison.
Was that a tribute to Edison? Or?
Yeah, it was at a new inventions fair in London in 1881, and it said one word, and that was Edison.
Thanks to Leah for reminding me of, I guess it was 20 years ago that David Brinkley went nuts. I was watching it live, and he just unpegged on Clinton the way I think Peter Jennings was trying to control him.
I remember that, yes. He was a big, very unlike him to go off his...
Never had an original idea, and I wonder what he would say today.
He's speechless, like all of us.
Very strange factoid I ran into, and I want to make it a question, and that is which is the world's largest private tech company. It has an annual revenue of $74 billion, which obviously is lower than the companies not privately owned.
The largest private tech company.
Private tech company, $74 billion annual revenue. It just really...
Is this an American company?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, what would it be? $74 billion. Intel.
No.
$74 billion tech.
It's something that maybe 10 years ago you would know real quickly, but it still is. And that's really, to me, a surprise.
Not Microsoft. It's
privately owned.
Privately owned.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, what is it?
It's Dell.
Michael Dell. Okay.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Dell.
Right.
Very good.
A real quick question, and then I depart. The British Prime Minister, Theresa May, what district does she represent?
In what part of the country? Or what?
No, there's a district by name.
Oh, okay.
And
Mayfair.
No, she's not. She's outside of London. Am I correct about that?
Near
London. Okay. I don't know. Hounslow.
No, actually, considering that, considering her gender, that's why I noticed it.
Oh, all right. What's the answer, Janusz?
It's Maidenhead.
Oh.
Sorry. All righty.
Thank you, Janusz. All right. Good night. And we have a couple of lines open if you'd like to give us a quick call. That number is area code 415-841-4134. With, again, with the question or answer, 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Jerry, do you have a quick question?
Yeah. What president actually had a dog named Fido? One guess only.
Lincoln.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew I'd.
Yeah, okay.
What kind of dog was it?
I don't know.
There might be a picture of it. I think he had it when he was president.
I never heard of the dog.
All right, yeah. All right. Do you want to give us another question?
What innovation did McDonald's credit with boosting their annual, their earnings a couple years ago, I guess it was?
So, what? Probably breakfast all day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Why did you must go there a lot.
No, I never go to McDonald's.
And what name do Brits call McDonald's?
What do they call McDonald's?
I never heard this. I just heard this the other night.
I don't know. Not Mickey D.
Mickey D.
Mickey D.
Mickey D's. Yeah.
Well, they call that. They call it
here.
Yeah,
they
too.
Call that here. Too.
Oh,
yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm out of it as usual. Okay.
That's man, right. I you know, wherever you go in Europe, there's a McDonald's, let me tell you.
I never heard the phrase Mickey D's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. Yeah, sorry. Okay, so the singer with that best-selling Christmas album from 58 to 61, was that maybe Tony Bennett?
It is not Tony Bennett.
How about Frank Sinatra?
Not Frank Sinatra.
Okay, I have a quick question for you guys. When they did the remake of The Star Is Born, or A Star Is Born, in 1976, Kristofferson played the down-and-out star, and Barbra Streisand played the up-and-coming. But who did Barbra Streisand initially approach playing Kris Kristofferson's role?
Oh, Elvis Presley.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Good. Yeah. And he wanted to do it, too.
I think she had better taste than that.
Oh,
yeah, but his manager, the ever like controlling, what's his name, Colonel Parker, wouldn't let him do it for
right.
some reason.
Right, right.
I think it's because he demanded like that Elvis's name be first or something like that.
So, yeah, I think I,
probably that's
that
why,
was
yeah.
part of it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. And Leah?
Okay, what program, again, from David Thompson's book, it's been on since 1975. It's praised for its, quote, archaic charm and idealism.
What year? Yeah.
1975.
Praised for its
40 years.
Hasn't 60 Minutes been on that long?
What?
Not 60.
Archaic charm and idealism?
Well, no, I don't know. I just thought.
The Waltons.
No.
Sesame Street.
No.
It's been on since 19... What year? I'm sorry, what year was it again?
75.
Is it a children's show?
Mm-mm.
Lawrence Welk.
No.
Charm.
Hmm. Mickey Mouse Club.
No. But it had to be on all, it was on all, it's all consistently all this mm-hmm. time. 1975. Okay. All right. Leave it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hey. I have a guess about the Christmas album.
Okay, good.
Is it Burl Ives?
It is not Burl Ives, though he did a good Christmas album, but no, not that.
And I have a guess about, the Archaic Charm TV show.
Yeah.
Is it CBS Sunday Morning?
No.
Yeah.
I love that show.
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Oh, well. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, this is Jim and Laurie from Alameda and guessing on the Christmas album.
Okay.
Would that be Andy Williams?
No, Andy.
Very good guess.
It's a very good guess. And Andy Williams had the best-selling Christmas album for a couple years in a row, but it wasn't 4 years. But yeah.
Okay. Well, happy holidays.
Thank you. You too.
Oh, okay. Streisand.
No. Oh. She had the best-selling album at least 1 year. But
it was a big seller, yeah.
Yeah. This will kill you when you hear the answer. It won't kill you, but...
They do what?
That it'll be muttering? A surprise to you that when you hear the answer.
Oh. Mm.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Denise in San Francisco.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, I have a guess about which country celebrates Christmas with Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
Vietnam?
No.
That's all I got. Oh, well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure, bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, let's see. If nobody answers this, I think I'm going to save it for the next time, but I'll throw it out. What was the first American song to sell a million copies in sheet music?
After the Ball.
Yes. Is that in your book?
No, but I know everything.
Oh, all right. There you go.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Remember who wrote it?
It's a kind of a Harry Von Tilzer or something like that?
No, not that, but it's, yeah, because I forgot. Okay. You tell me. Yes, After the Ball. Good. I'm glad I used that up then because you got it too quickly. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, I guess it's me.
It is you.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Who put out an EP with the Christmas song, I Got It Cold for Christmas, and I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas?
Well, they're using that in a commercial now, a big commercial.
Yeah, they are, but it's being sung by some kids.
And
the original.
So you want the original artist, is that correct, or no?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it wasn't a young person that did it originally, like a girl?
Not a kid, no.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Back in the 70s.
I don't know. I do not know.
Well, here's a hint. In the Jingle Bells, you find out the sleigh is pulled by Curly Joe.
Oh. Not one of the Three Stooges. No.
Yeah, the Three Stooges.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Down Through the Housetop, Santa May Fall. It's a funny recording.
I'll have to look that up. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to wrap it up now, and I just want to wish you all very happy holidays. Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. I want to also remind you that next Sunday we are going to have a music show that I put together a couple of days ago. It will be music of the 20s, 30s, 40s, and early 50s. Hope you enjoy that. Let me know what you think. Our panel tonight was Jerry Nachman, a well-known Bay Area author, whose new book, Showstoppers, is available for your late Christmas shopping. And, of course, Leah Garjik, the columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks, of course, to David Latulipe and Steve Wilcott for handing the board and phones. And, above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in out there. Have a wonderful end of the year. We didn't clear up the answers. I'm sorry. Let's do that. Go ahead, Jerry.
First Asian American man to win an Olympic gold medal was diver Sammy Lee. And, God, I'm sorry.
That it? Nope.
Go ahead. While he's looking.
Yeah, go ahead.
The salary of a CEO of Walmart is $19.8 million
a year.
Oh,
my. Okay.
And the show that was praised for its archaic charm and idealism is the NewsHour.
Oh, all right. The first
citizens of Japan celebrate Christmas by picking out on Colonel Sanders.
All right. Sorry about that. The first illuminated sign in history was in 1840 in New York City to advertise P.T. Barnum's Museum.
Oh.
Besides Bing Crosby, who's the only person to have the best-selling Christmas album 4 years in a row, and that would be Mitch Miller.
Of course, Mitch Miller
and the gang. And Barry Gordon's song was Nuttin' for Christmas, and Spike Jonze was All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth.
Oh, that was Spike Jonze.
So again, happy holidays, everybody, and please remember that there is no wisdom greater than kindness. Thanks, everybody. Have a great holiday. Bye-bye.
He knows if you've been good or bad, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
KALW is a media sponsor for the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco, which invites you to a screening of the 1918 silent film The Yellow Ticket, the story of a young Jewish woman living in a Polish shtetl and trying to fulfill her ambition to study medicine in Russia, and who is coerced into prostitution to pay the rent. Presented with a live score by Alicia Zweigels, Thursday, January 19th at 7 p.m. Information at jccsf.org/arts. Revolutions Per Minute is next here on 91.7 KALW San Francisco, followed at 10 by 2 hours of slow music for fast times, music from the hearts of space. Stay with us. Thank you.